Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm just totally out of it today. I've got a friend who's coming in to the show. I think she's already called in. I've talked with her about what we're going to be talking about for the show. It's going to be on the Second Amendment. We're also going to discuss the history of the liberals' attacks on gun ownership here in America. And I think Tammy is already there, aren't you? Well, I'm not sure she is. Are you there, Tammy?
I know I'm here. If that's any help,
okay.
Barry Croft, Delaware.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had a guest who was supposed to be coming in, and I thought that she was already here because I don't exactly know what her number is yet. So, but
would you like me to pass that on to you so we could join her in, or?
Oh no, that's okay. I was just talking to her on the phone. She said she was getting ready to call in, so she should be showing up any time now. So let me get my let me see if I can find my darned hour one thing here. Okay, there it is. I'm going to go ahead and play my introduction, and I'll be right with you guys.
Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the doctor of this republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, well, actually, we have ourselves the first today. I've actually got a whole bunch of phone calls, and I think Tammy is here, isn't she? Well, let's see if I can find her. Okay, are you there, Tammy?
I am. I'm here. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I've got like five phone calls right now, and I've got them all on there, so I don't know which one is you, but I got them all in there, and...
Yeah, it should have me, Barry, and also Wayne.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got, I talked to one of them. when I first started out, I thought it was you, and it wasn't. So I apologize for that one. But, welcome to the show, Tammy, and all of you other people.
Hello.
Good to have you here tonight. Good to have you guys here. We're in the process. We're going to be discussing gun control and the difference between what the liberals think of gun control, and I saw a good one on Facebook today. It showed a picture of a woman holding two guns, and it says, "Gun control is hitting your target every time." And I thought that was a great one. And I could just see the liberals just exploding over that one.
Oh, you know it.
But it's good to have you all here, Tammy. You were talking about how you want you wanted to talk about the history of, I guess if I'm getting this right, the history of gun control in America. Or
yeah, I just wanted to go over a brief history about what happened when the government disarmed their citizens.
Yeah, I think we all saw that. Well, actually, we didn't see that, but we've got it in history, like when Hitler did that, because he did the same thing. He disarmed the population before he took over. And it's a good example of that, but I'm sure you have many more examples of that. Because I keep going back to Hitler on that one, so.
Yeah, Hitler was one of them, but there was many more as well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all right.
The floor is yours.
All right, and before I start, did Barry make it on here yet?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here, present and accounted for.
Okay, great. All right, well, if you go back to 1911, Turkey disarmed its citizens between 1911 and 1915. 1917, they murdered about 1.5 million of their citizens. And then if you go to 1929, Russia disarmed its citizens. Between 29 and 53, they murdered about 20 million Russians. And then if you go to China, between 1948 and 1952, they murdered 20 million Chinese. You go to Germany. Obviously, most people are familiar with that one. They disarmed their citizens between 1939 and 1945. They murdered about 16 million Jews. Then you can go to Cambodia. They disarmed their citizens between 1975 and 1977. They murdered 1 million educated people. Then you go to Guatemala. They disarmed its citizens between 1964 and 1981, and they murdered 100,000 Mayan Indians. And then you go to 1971 to 79, Uganda. They disarmed their citizens, and they murdered about 300 Christians. So basically, if you see the history there, history does repeat itself.
It's never worked. But, you know, the thing that most people seem to think is that all of this kind of thing, like the killing of millions of people, happened a long time ago. And some of this wasn't that long ago. And it's still ongoing.
Exactly. Gun control has never... decreased in crime. Actually, it has had a dramatic increase because the criminals never turn in their weapons, as we know.
But, you
and
know, that's the thing that I have constantly been harping on this show is that you make guns illegal and the law-abiding citizens will get rid of their guns, but the criminals never will.
And that's exactly what happened in these cases.
Yeah. And if your home is invaded by somebody and you don't have any guns, you're dead because the cops will never show up until it's already done.
Can I interject something into this?
Absolutely.
Take for instance our poorest southern border. Okay, if you disarm American citizens yet allow the influx of 23 million illegal aliens, you basically show everyone that the border is just absolutely porous and you can get just about anything you want in through there. What you'll do is you'll disarm your citizens. but the illegal entity that invades your country brings in whatever they want. And what you'll end up with is just weapons in the hands of those that invade and those that are selected, you know. And that's very dangerous for America right now. With the number being accurately around 23 million, you started out before the invasion as a country of roughly 420 to 450 million. So you've actually had an influx of about 5% to your country. Now, 5% over a 20-year period grows to 10, 15%. Over 50 years, you'll see an absolute change in the demographics of the country. And the thing about it is that, you know, their focus is disarming Americans, okay? Law-abiding, tax-paying, voting citizens. That there being as dangerous as it could be by itself, because I want to just quote the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Our forefathers foresaw this and knew that it would come to this, that greed and corruption would just overflow. And that was their contribution to their country's future, knowing that a well-regulated militia could be anyone. And I believe that their intent was that the public govern themselves, not some all-knowing body govern them all the way down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, here's a good example for you. Australia disarmed their citizens. A year later, their homicide rate is the largest province, is up 300%. And that's just a year later. And that is actually a fact. You can Google it. But that just goes to show you how the numbers have increased.
And the crimes are probably more horrific because they're done with objects other than a gun. I know knives are the preferred weapon of choice over there. I do have a couple friends in Australia. And, you know, what you end up having is, you know, Bill the Butcher, you know, just homicide by way of cutting somebody open. And is that any less horrific than shooting?
Well, you know, that's the thing that all these gun control freaks constantly talk about is you need to control the guns and it'll stop the murders. But the problem is murders are not always done by guns. And for a good portion of it, a lot of them are not done by guns. So, you know, if they take away our guns, what's next?
Yeah, they'll have to take away machetes, knives.
Absolutely, because there's always going to be something next when it comes to the liberals. They get away with banning us on something. They're always going to go to something else.
Well, let me ask you a question. What one singular thing kills more Americans yearly than anything else?
Automobile accidents, other than
disease. Right. Alcohol-related vehicle accidents. Alcohol-related. Yet, we're not pushing to ban alcohol. In fact, we're pushing alcohol on every corner. I can drive.
Yep.
I live in Delaware. You can drive down the block, and on about every block is somewhere where you can buy your booze. Yet, they know that somebody is going to die tonight in every state across the union of an alcohol-related reckless driving offense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no push to rid alcohol from the shelves. So if we're really wanting to keep society safe, why are we focusing on something that kills less Americans a year than anything else?
I totally agree. And the problem with that is they get rid of the guns, they're going to go after something else, and you know, liquor or. Yeah, well, they're already trying to go after our automobiles. They've been doing that for a long time.
Well, I say they need to just call it for what it is. It's not gun control. It's just people control. They're just trying to mm-hmm. mask it with gun control, but it's not, call it for what it is, people control is basically what they want. Wayne, you have anything to fill in here?
There's a closer case study than Australia or anybody else. All you have to do is, like Barry said, look along our southern border. Look at Juarez, Mexico. Private ownership of firearms is prohibited in Mexico. Carries a heavy prison sentence with it. Look at the number of people that come up missing on a daily basis. The cartel, they don't care. They have machine guns. They have everything else. The murder rate in Juarez alone is staggering. One of the deadliest cities in the world. And it's because people can't protect themselves. Women come up missing every day. Children, they find mass graves. Everything else. That's the future of America if we get disarmed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to live down in the Southwest, and I know all about that area. But one of the things that a lot of people have forgotten is that Sergeant Tamaruso, or I have trouble with his name, but he went down there and accidentally crossed over the border, had a gun in his truck, and they hauled him to prison, and he was in prison for quite a while before he was released.
The Marine that made the wrong turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, right there south of San Diego. He was headed to base, made a wrong turn, ended up in Mexico, and spent almost 7 months in Mexican custody for being armed in Mexico, and our president done nothing to help him. Yeah, we know who he is. At least I do.
And I did a lot of blog over that because I remember several of the stories that I wrote on there about how Obama was just essentially too chicken shit to do anything about it because he was afraid he was going to offend the Mexican government.
No. I want to interject there. He wasn't too chicken shit. He just had no desire. If you look at the history of the Mexican president and Barack Obama, they're very close, and they've gotten closer in recent years. So it wasn't as if Barack Obama couldn't just pick up the phone and say, hey, you're holding one of my guys, and I want him back. I mean, honestly, if you would have threatened Mexico with deporting everything we have here, they would have taken and given our guy back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico doesn't want him back.
I'm sorry, but not to change the subject, but I wanted to interject here that I do have the chat room open for anybody who is actually listening, because I'm pretty sure there's somebody else listening, the five of us here. But go ahead. That's essentially all I needed to say right there.
Now, did you say
that? Is that where they can come in and answer?
Yeah, if I get people, they may ask questions and things like that. But I don't have anybody in there right now.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, getting back to what we were discussing, we could have had our Marine back, and that wasn't really a big thing. For Barack Obama to do, but he had no desire. And, you know, I don't think that Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, anything Democratic, has any desire to defend this country. If you go back to Benghazi, I'm sure Wayne could add some things there. Hillary Clinton not only failed to secure our embassy, but Barack Obama interjected a broken arrow call from an American unit, cut off, pinned down, and in fear of being overrun. And there was a presidential order interjecting our servicemen from helping those men.
Yeah,
and that,
and then,
you know,
and
that's
Hillary.
Their... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say that Hillary just the other day said that no one was killed during that time. All face lies.
Right. Like, the American people didn't lose four dedicated men that day. And then, to add insult to injury, they actually photographed our men and put that out on the media, social media, where they are. and celebrated the death of our men and the trampling of our embassy. And this is one of the things that's given the world a really low opinion of America, you know. If you look into it, Egypt actually has indicted Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and various other members of the United States government. They're actually indicted in Egypt.
Yeah. I saw something about that the other day.
And it's just, I mean, you know, think about it like this. When you look to the United States as a world to keep things, you know, keep freedom, let freedom ring. I mean, we're supposed to be the guys that come in and liberate and protect. And you look at the things that we've been doing over the last 30 years with Halliburton going right into Iraq side by side with our soldiers. And you look at some of the, you know, who owns Halliburton, you know, where the interest, where it gets divided up at. It's really serious because, like Afghanistan, they tell us we're fighting terror in Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan is not the home of terror. Pakistan is. So why are you not in Pakistan? Right. You're in Afghanistan because Afghanistan's yearly yield, the only thing they really can say that they export is poppy seeds. Poppy seeds are very essential to the United States way right now because we got doctors pumping painkillers into anybody and everybody that they can get away with pumping them into. There's a reason for that. And if you look back in history, you can find it where the British were actually used on Chinese to make sure that the opium flowed freely. The Chinese emperor put an end to opium, and the Rothschilds got extremely upset and sent the British military to handle that for them. And what ended up happening was the emperor had to pay for the opium that he had destroyed and allow opium to flow freely so that they could, you know, contaminate the population of China and keep them, because China's always had a heavy population, and the population was the concern of the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
Just what, as the population got to be of concern to them today. The population's exploded. And the truth of the matter is you really don't hear about the worldwide genocide unless somebody has particular interest.
Yeah, that's very true, especially from the lamestream media. You don't hear anything about that.
No, not at all.
I actually had a question that kind of is on the lines of gun control, but it's kind of changing the subject a little bit. That whole thing that happened in Oregon, what are you guys' thoughts about that?
Well,
with Robert Lavoie.
It doesn't. Robert Lavoie Finnegan was not armed when he was gunned down. Now, they did inhabit that refuge with arms, but he was not armed when he was gunned down. So, and I just want to point out that every officer that was present that day violated the rules of engagement that our military servicemen are supposed to follow. So if our military servicemen in a hostile country are expected to conduct themselves with a certain measure of honor and respect, I do not see how the Oregon State Highway Patrol was not shut down immediately. And I know they say that, well, that's a drastic measure. No, sir, it's not. They took place in something that violated the rules of engagement. They fired at a vehicle without even identifying if any occupants of that vehicle were armed. And to me, that shows reckless disregard for American citizens' lives on the part of every agency that took place that day.
Well, I actually did a post on my blog. I think, if I'm thinking, I did it anyway. I found a video that was taken from, I think, probably a cell phone that was inside that vehicle, and you could hear all kinds of things hitting that truck. And they were all crouched down because the truck was being hit, and they were talking about how they were trying to break out the window. And this was after Robert Lavoie Finicum was gunned down, and he got out of that truck with his arm hands up.
Man.
And then there was another thing that said that the aerial photos saw there was a couple of agents that said there were a couple of shell casings in a place where an agent supposedly had fired, but those shell casings disappeared, and the aerial photos showed an agent down there with a flashlight, and they leaned down and picked up two things. So,
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Wayne. Go ahead.
All right, if you, anybody that's listening was privy to the FBI's analogy of what happened, they showed the initial traffic stop via the drone craft overhead when they shut down the vehicle that was being driven by Mark McConnell, and Edmund Bundy was taken into custody. They show Lavoie speed away, and they said, well, he refused to comply with the traffic stop. They were actually taking rounds in the rear of the vehicle at that time. Any rational person under that situation would accelerate away to try and protect himself and the people inside the vehicle. The FBI also stated that as they approached the roadblock, spike strips had been placed out and that Mr. Finnegan had avoided the spike strips. Problem is, the drone footage shows the rear tires are shredded. He actually hit the spike strips. They did fire upon his vehicle as it hit the spike strips. Their intent was not to take this man into custody. It was a complete military L-shaped ambush that happened. It was not police tactics. And from a police background, I can tell you that's not how you stop somebody on a felony stop. Rounds were fired into the car, yes. The man did exit the vehicle with his hands up. And if you go by the footage, you can see the one operator moved from the driver's side of the black vehicle around, fires one shot, tucks his M4 back down, goes back around the rear of the vehicle. At that time, when everybody says Mr. Finnegan reached for a weapon in his inside left pocket, which is bizarre, being that the fact that he was right-handed and carried a old-style single-action peacemaker weapon because he was a cowboy and not a tactical person. He reached for his side, but he also, if you watch the video, he does point. And from the witness statements, he said, he just shot me. That's where everybody says he's reaching for a gun, at which point he takes more rounds.
I've heard him mention
coming that, from a law enforcement background that I have. I have never once in the rules of engagement ever deemed it necessary to flip a suspect off as he bled out into the snow. And, yeah, if you enhance the video, the one agent, the one operator, as they move towards the vehicle, as they're flashbanging and firing upon it, actually pauses long enough to flip off Lavoie Finnegan as he bleeds out into the snow. That's not a rule of engagement. That's murder. All right? You can justify anything you want. You can put any spin on it you want. The government can't spin that one. All right, there's no viable excuse for it. I mean, honestly, because the man stepped out and said, either go to the sheriff or you kill me here, they killed him? No, that ain't right. And for occupying a bird refuge that had been unoccupied for a year and a half before they went into it, it was already an abandoned building.
I had a question asked in the chat room. By somebody there that says, I hope you know what the Oregon standoff was really all about. And then he says, does a Russian mining company mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah, the uranium that Hillary Clinton's selling to the Russians. Yeah, we're aware. Matter of fact, the thing about it is you can be as aware as you want, but, you know, they've occupied that area. They're not going to let you into that area to investigate. It's been my understanding that all the foreign personalities that took place and that that whole ordeal had been evac'd immediately. You know, it just, you know, we are aware of why that took place. Yes, we are. And we are aware of why Mr. Finnegan died.
Yeah. Well, I did a post on my blog where I actually said that I think he was just absolutely executed.
The one thing I will say about Oregon is this. As much as it showed the extent that our government's willing to go to try and shut someone up, it also showed the power that we have behind it. When it came down to the day before the surrender and the FBI gave the breach order, when that breach order was given and federal officers started to move in on the last four remaining holdouts, and it went viral. It went out on a live podcast. It's going out on the radio just like we are right now with you. When that number hit high enough that they couldn't shut up all the witnesses, that advancing force stopped at 300 yards and held for the rest of the night. What people need to realize is this. No matter what our government does, they can't shut us all up at once. And the people still have the power to stop stuff that isn't right. And that night, to a show of numbers, American citizens said, no, this ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
And when that number hit 80,000, they stood down. And they started to renegotiate it. And it didn't matter that they had a legislature person from Idaho on the phone talking with them also. What mattered was there was that many people listening that were witnesses.
Yeah, and
80,000 turns into 800,000 by the time we get through talking.
Yeah,
and I'd like to take a second. Brother Wayne touched on it. The power the American people really have right now. There's several things that we have available to us as a people right now that can help us in our current situation. Number one, and I think the most important right now at the time, is nullification of jury. Any jury, any 12 jurors selected to hear a case, any one of them can nullify the indictment, any one of them. Automatically trump the indictment. It overrides everything the prosecutor has to say, anything the judge may say. It nullifies the indictment. A jury has the power to do that. But the jury isn't instructed on what they have the power to do. They're instructed on what the judge, the prosecutor, want them to be able to do. They're not given the full range and spectrum of their power as a jury. They're not educated when they perform their jury duty. So in my mind, if you're using people that are ignorant as to what they're doing, then you really don't have much to really convict somebody on. These people don't even know what they're doing. You just give them a crash course in what you want them to do, and then you send them packing, you know. The second thing is the withdrawal of consent. As a people, you know, your vote counts. You have the right to withdraw your consent to be governed by this criminal body. It's very obvious that the government's not holding themselves to the standards that they govern you by. So you are entitled to withdraw your consent to be governed. And there's a lot of people today actually fighting in court to become nationalists of the state that they reside in, you know, just renouncing their federalization, which gives back your Social Security card, your birth certificate. Basically, you're a nationalist of the state that you live in. I actually have a truck driver buddy that's doing it now. It's going to cost him his CDL, his bread and butter. But at the same time, he won't be subjected to the same rules and regulations everybody else is, because he's his own body. And it's a very interesting thing. It all ties into the uniform commercial code, you know, the corporation conduct and whatnot. But we do have a lot of power left, and it doesn't have to come down to hostilities, But what you're seeing is the government is pushing for hostilities. They're pushing for an escalation. They're pushing for buildup. Look at the Trump rallies. That man has the right to rally just like any of the rest of them. You don't see people being, you know, if Donald Trump ran an ad on Craigslist for people to go interrupt the Hillary Clinton rally, they would bring him up on some kind of organized crime charges. But yet these liberals, they're allowed to advertise in Craigslist, pay people to go start fights at rallies. Well, that's organized crime. That's organized crime. That's no short of a mafia movement. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
Well, that's
the mafia.
That's pretty much what
the mafia. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's pretty much what one of the people in the chat room said. He said our government is nothing more than the private country club, and this is the reason they fear a person like Trump, who is an outsider.
Well, I mean, and listen, there are some things about Trump that I don't like. I support him because I feel like he's the lesser of all the evils. And I mean that,
mm-hmm.
The lesser of all the evils. Donald Trump does stand for I'm drawing a blank, domain,
eminent domain.
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain, right, that's it. Thank you, Brother Wayne. You know, Donald
Anytime.
Trump advocates, he advocates eminent domain. If you look at Donald Trump through the 80s, he was 180 degrees different. He was a liberal in the 80s. And, I mean, I understand that time changes a man, believe me. I'm here talking to a guy that understands that firsthand. But Donald Trump's always been an entrepreneur. He's always been a guy that's, you know, gravitated towards generating himself wealth. He's egotistical. His ego alone could get you in trouble. I mean, if you send him to a Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin was a soldier at 17 years old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't live in a world that revolves around money. Vladimir Putin lives in a world of survival of the fittest.
Putin likes Trump.
Yeah, Putin also.
Putin is a supporter of Trump. He says that, you know, if you want to keep America from having a battle with Russia, your best bet's to elect Trump. Because if it's Hillary or somebody else, it's coming. And that's not conjecture or anything else. That's his statements on Russian television. And,
yeah, I heard that.
You know, I'm there with Barry on this one. You know, he is the lesser of them all. But he does try his best to say that he's going to support constitutional law. He's going to uphold Second Amendment laws. He's going to try and repeal as many of the executive orders that are getting placed out. You know, people need to listen, like what I'm sure will be coming up soon. If you're out there and you're listening and you want to know what you can do, make sure your local authorities are congressional law enforcement officers and congressional sheriffs. Make sure that you have a congressional body that's trying to govern you locally before you try and think of what you're going to do nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the fact that an elected sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement officer in your county. He has the right to tell the government to go pound sand and not adhere to their laws or uphold what they're trying to get him to do. And a lot of sheriffs get elected based off of whatever reason. But if you have a congressional sheriff in your corner, you have a lot more ground to stand on than you will ever know. I'm sorry for stepping on you, Barry. Go ahead.
No. I'm in complete agreement. He couldn't have said it any better. Your sheriff is an elected official. And in the county that sheriff was elected, he holds more power than the president of the United States. And that's the truth. That's why it's absolutely compelling to me all the places that Barack Obama travels to, and these sheriffs aren't taking him into custody. Now, there's Secret Service and whatnot that protect the president, and yes, there may be bloodshed, but, you know, it all ties into the Tree of Freedom and its necessity to be refreshed by the blood of patriots and tyrants. And, you know,
okay.
It's all throughout our history.
I had a question for Barry in the chat room. Kelly asked, perhaps I'm a little behind, however, can Barry discuss his thoughts on the David Rothschild indictment last year in France and tell us his thoughts on why it's taken so long to bring him and his international banking mafia to justice?
Well, that's very simple. Money. Just like Hillary Clinton, it's the same thing that's keeping Hillary from being indicted. Money. You know, when you're dealing with an individual or an entity that has the ability to buy the people that would be hearing the whole affair, you know, it's something that's astronomical. I mean, the Rothschilds, I believe the last figure I heard on the cumulative family net worth was $40 trillion. Now, think about your national deficit, $19 trillion, and think about the net worth of $40 trillion. You actually have the ability to buy an entire country if you wanted to, if you so choose. And that is exactly why the Rothschilds will never fall under an indictment that sticks. It'll be tied up in mitigation. It'll be heard for years and years, and then it'll be swept under the rug as some magistrate or justice throws the hearing out, throws the indictment out as frivolous. You'll never hear about it. Mainstream media isn't going to put it out there. And why should they? You know, you're going against the biggest in the valley. You're going against one of the, you know, the wealthiest families in the world. And honestly,
yep,
I feel as though the only way you're going to dethrone these people is by force of arms. There is no way to legally handle them. You're going to have to go knock down the walls of the castle somewhere. You're not going to be able to just indict them.
May
and
I
that's
say something?
Just my personal opinion.
May I say something?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure.
This is 318. This is John from Western Louisiana. I personally think, even though I'm not for her, that Hillary Clinton's going to get in there and that she'll replace the Supreme Court justice if he doesn't get there anyhow, and that Thomas Clarence will be on the next one out. Now, once she gets in, the way she's going to end pretty much the First and Second Amendment, Second Amendment first, she'll attack the gun factory masteries, threatening to sue them and the ammo country for whatever crimes that get committed. And through the threat of suing, that would virtually end the Second Amendment, because you can't buy a gun or ammo because they're too scared to sell it on the market because they're afraid of getting sued. Just like the First Amendment, like if you remember the Miss Puerto Rico, when she said, talked out against the Muslims raping people over in Europe, they cut her off the path. So they said, hey, you just said something racist, something very anti-religion against Muslims, and so you can't come. So they use these tactics to censor speech, and they want the power to be able to sue gun manufacturers, ammo manufacturers, that if a crime happens, they could be sued millions of dollars, and they'll be too scared to put their stuff out there. They'll say, well, you got the Second Amendment, but we could sue you if this goes out to play. So that's pretty much how I see it. I do think she is going to be the next president because the agendas that are already set in place, like Agenda 2030, and I do think that Obama will be the next Secretary General of the United Nations. And she'll be pretty much be on this trail. She'll do everything the United Nations tells her. She'll flip-flop on TPP. And attacking the First and Second Amendment, it will be nothing but diversions to increase the debt limit, which is $19 trillion now. Now, when Obama leaves, it'll be $22 trillion probably because – next year, I think they'll increase it by an extra $2 trillion because they already – the usual bout on his term was $1.2 trillion a year. Last year, under Paul Ryan, it was $1.8, additional $600 billion. Now, if you look at George W. Bush, they were only increasing it by $380 billion a year. It's increasing every single year. Now, Donald Trump, he said once it passes $24 trillion in debt, it'll be Swiss cheese from there. So there's only $2 trillion left. Once it goes past 24, I would say the first 1 to 2 years of Hillary Clinton, it's done for.
Well, I myself don't think that Hillary Clinton's going to win, but I don't know. That's kind of a scary.
The media is going to tear Trump apart using racial, religious tactics. He's going to shoot himself in the foot, and it'll be a car.
Mr. 318, Louisiana. I would like to draw your attention to the fact that the Vatican is a very heavy shareholder in Beretta Firearms. Look at the people that are trying to ban the guns, follow the money, and then you'll see that not only are they trying to ban the guns, but they also manufacture the guns. There's a reason for that. All they'll do is they'll take the guns away from you, and they'll slide them into the hands of the people that will come kill you and rid your way of life from the face of the earth. And then they'll just go ahead and arm another people to kill them. It's a vicious history. I mean, it's a vicious cycle, and it's echoed all throughout history. You can see where the balance of power shifts. I mean, look at Adolf Hitler. It's the same ingredients. It's the same ingredients. We're going to get the same cake. Adolf Hitler aligned himself with the Muslims. It was his first ally. Look at how this is taking place. Their first ally, the Muslims. You don't think that other allegiances are going to be formed in this? I'm sure Mexico and the Mexican president's going to come to play. 23 million illegals already here. If 5% of 23 million take up arms against your country, that's already more than you can put on a battlefield. And that's
If you're off the grid, we'll be killing each other off for the first year or so because no water, no run electricity, and people will be fighting, they'll be begging for the country to come in, the government to come in.
It's not going to take a year.
They're not going to have a chance to beg for it. What everybody's doing is they're watching all this electional stuff, and nobody's paying that much attention. Yeah, you get a little bit of blurb on the news once in a while about the saber rattling to the West. You got North Korea threatening to fire missiles at South Korea. They've already test-fired missiles over Japan into the sea to prove they can hit Tokyo. If that little runt gets the idea to go ahead and fire live, he kills millions, if not a billion people, within a matter of seconds. He hits Tokyo, the heaviest populated city in the world, and he levels it. They're all dead. This ain't Hiroshima. This ain't, B-29s flying over and dropping, hydrogen bombs. These are nuclear missiles that are firing, and they will level that city. They will level Seoul. Within 15 minutes, they're dead. The response back will be that Putin will fire on North Korea. He's already given the order, stand down or be stood down. So if they fire, they already know what's coming. Their immediate response is to level North Korea. On top of them, China will fire on them. All right? Now, everybody goes, so what? That's in the West. What's it got to do with us? The jet stream's what's got to do with us. When that nuclear fallout cloud hits U.S. soil, the panic that will ensue will give him every green light he needs to invoke martial law. That will give him every green light he needs to disarm the public, to say, because his executive orders say, in a time of crisis or civil disorder. When radiation starts falling out of that sky, that's going to give civil disorder a whole new meaning. Everybody's stockpiling guns. Nobody's stockpiling the stuff that's going to matter. So you know what? You think you're going to, if we're off the grid, we're going to be fighting over water? What if every bit of water you got's contaminated? All right, we're talking best genocide you could ever see. And you know what? They don't have to raise a finger because they're going to be in underground bunkers. But that's when martial law kicks in. And guess what? If this happens in the next few months, there ain't going to be an election. There's
right.
going to be
and
no Hillary Trump, nothing else. It's going to be martial law, and it's going to be Barack Obama, king dictator of the United States. And
well,
honestly,
Obama,
I don't give a flying squirt if the NSA is listening to me say this right now or not. I really don't. I'm telling you right now, the likelihood we have an election at all is between slim and none. Because if the scenario I just laid out before you happens, there won't be one. You will no longer be a free citizen in the United States. You will be a servant.
Well, you do see that Obama. You do see that Obama is both Netanyahu, Michelle Bachmann, and certain Arab countries are trying to block him from being the next United Nations Secretary General.
They need to.
But I think that he will claim that power first at the transition once Hillary Clinton gets in there and he becomes Secretary General. Hillary Clinton will be his mule. She'll do everything he says. But I don't think they're trying to save the planet, so I don't think they're going to use nuclear. I think they'll use biological weapons. All these
negative. They're
going to
use nukes, man. They will use nukes because you know why? They've been sitting there too long. You know, we were a proud country for hundreds of years. We were a proud country for hundreds of years. Everybody thought we were the king. We were the big kids on the block. We were the biggest superpower. Nobody could touch us. Conspiracy theory or not, planes crashed into buildings in New York, and the whole country shook because somebody took a swing at us and hit. Now guess what's going to happen? They're going to hit it again. And if you believe that we're not going to get hit again, if you believe we're not going to get hit again, you're living blind. Pull your head out of the sand. Because just like Barry said, when the forces come in, we've already got enough internal forces as it is. You let disruption start with the number of Syrian refugees that are getting smuggled into the country and the ones already here.
Yeah.
All the safe haven cities. Yeah.
But
I don't
sure.
care where you are. You can be in Terrell, Texas, eating a bowl of chili, and you're going to see somebody in a burqa walk in.
But take
and
a look
guy,
at this. Take a look at this. Like Agenda 2030, when Obama was at the United Nations last September, look, hit 2030, Obama, United Nations. Within the first 15 minutes of his speech, he smirked and he said, "Once I'm out of the presidency, I will continue making policy both here in the United States and the rest of the world." He said that in his last September speech.
No, but listen, check this out. Let's look at Saddam Hussein, okay, who was hung on YouTube, okay? You could literally YouTube Saddam Hussein being hung, okay?
Yep.
This cream of some young guy over here in North Korea is way more volatile than Saddam Hussein ever was, okay? And in anybody's mind, he should be a guy that you would hang. Right? I mean, logically. I mean, he's irrational, he's illogical, and he's just that erratic to use a nuclear weapon. So, here we're going after Saddam Hussein, who had Scud missiles that he could barely get to the next country, and we rush in and hang him. Yet we ignore the immediate threat of this dictator in North Korea who's been there for a long time. And he could have easily been hung by now, you know, on YouTube. But he's just yet another mechanism of the anarchy that they have planned to ensue on this planet. It's not just this country, it's globally. I mean, look around, it's breaking loose everywhere, and they're just using the same common mechanisms they've used in the past. It's the same ingredients.
Okay, I had a couple more comments in the chat room. Jerry there said to tell Tammy, Barry, Wayne, they are bringing up good points. Listen to them, people. And another one said that this is all speculation. Well, here's the problem. Most everything that Obama is hitting us with is speculation. And we're running hog wild with that stuff, but the stuff that could happen that could be dangerous to this country, we're not doing anything about.
But like the problem with the DPRK, which is what everybody calls North Korea, all right, that's exactly what the name of the people thing is. the DPRK has had a response in place since Clinton was president. They've been a threat for years. Yeah, their equipment's old and most of it's broke down and they don't have that much of a force. But they also have a group of special operators who've been into South Korea and everywhere else and pave the road for when the attack comes. We've had a response set up for it for years. The fighting in Korea, the actual war in Korea never ended in the 50s, people. It's been there all along. That demilitarized zone, that's all it is a stagnant line. If you've never been there, trust me, you don't want to go there. Some of us are setting those bunkers on that little piece of fence and watch the saber rattling firsthand up close and scared North Koreans in the eye. They're not there because they want to be there. They're there because they want to kill whoever else is around them to unify their country. The problem is this.
Exactly.
Forget DPRK. Look at the United States. All right? I'm a Southern gentleman. I really am. I live in the South. I'm proud of my heritage. We still can refer to people above the Mason-Dixon as Yankees. Our country has been separated for longer than they have. You know, as a group, most of us try our best to try and unify this country. We want to stand together as Americans again, not Southern Americans, Northern Americans, West Coast, East Coast, because honestly, it all doesn't matter. The biggest fear that our government has is that we will unify as a people. If they can stop keeping us separated, we are unstoppable. If we could unify this whole country to stand up and say, you know what, they wrote a constitution for a reason. People died for that for a reason.
And that reason doesn't include just one race.
And it can't be turned over by an executive order. It can't be turned over because our elected officials forgot that they work for us. We don't work for them.
That constitution.
If enough people would pull their head out of the sand and realize that our government is by the people, for the people, not by the money, and for themselves, this would be a much better place.
The problem is we got too many people that hate the country, our own citizens, and they want handouts, a lot of them, and some of them get favoritism, you know, either by media means or you know, just job-wise, general. I mean, over here, I'm in Louisiana, and the college down here, they're actually putting, instead of people from the South, people from the North, like, it could be... I usually see a lot of gay, lesbian, female types, liberals, that they're placing as professors down here. I mean, and they're all from, like, Chicago or somewhere up north. I mean, I see a lot, I mean, people, certain people, they gravitate toward the government. They actually hate, I mean, you can see through media outlets that they hate the country, kind of like stuff like Young Turks or something, like we should get rid of the Senate. We need to get rid of the Second Amendment. Just like Bill Maher on HBO, he's always against anti-Constitution. We got too many people that hate themselves, that hate the country, and they want to see it down. And they're dirty enough to play both sides, and that's what's tearing our country apart. We got too many people that hate the country and hate themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of seconds ago, I heard Tammy trying to break in. I think, were you trying to say something, Tammy?
Yeah, I was trying to. I mean, we have a lot of things like this we discuss about in our group. But right now, I just want to find out what everybody thinks that the Second Amendment means to them, because it's not about duck hunting, that why do you need this kind of gun? It's not about deer hunting. You know, what does the Second Amendment mean to people? They're forgetting what the meaning of that is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to expand on that. The meaning of it to me is that a well-regulated militia be necessary for the security of a free state. To me, that means that we should not be limited in what we are able to purchase. Doesn't mean that there should be clip size limitations. It doesn't mean that there should be this, that, or the third in place to keep you from owning this, that, or whatever. You know, the thing about it is if we as a community all bore the responsibility on our hips to administer justice at a moment's notice, our society would be a cleaner place. I mean, if you look at the people that snatch kids in vans from playgrounds, if you're going to be snatching a kid from a place where there's a guy jogging by that's got a Glock 35 on his hip, or a guy mowing the grass with an Uzi slinging from his shoulder, you're not going to drive by and touch something that doesn't belong to you. It might cost you your life. And the thing about it is, you know, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. That's very clear. Under no color of the law, under no smearing or perversion, can you...
Yeah, the Second Amendment, I mean, the Supreme Court has ruled on that. Hey, I'm not lying about this. I live about 5 miles away from Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. And sometimes I wonder if he even realizes that he's being used as a pawn, because GQ went after him, and that when they fake blurpers on his show, he asked them why they were doing that. And he told them not to do it when he was filming down here. And they just did away, and they didn't put the bleepers like there was a curse word or anything there. But people have told him that, hey, he was set up on GQ when they said he made the homosexual comments. And that is a way, to me, is to intimidate and provoke people from their free speech. Like, you can say this, not this, and that, or you'll be labeled as a homophobe or racist. They'll pull the religious card on you. And these are tactics that are dividing us to make people look like something they're not. Most people are smart enough to figure out, well, he's not a racist or anything. He's not, I mean, he just said what he believed. But using these type of tactics, like solistic tactics, this is the way that they're dividing and conquering the whole country. And they use this as a means to intimidate people.
Yes, they do. And, like the other day, one of the things that I've come to realize is that people hate to be called racist. And I think that's one of the things that the left does just to get to people's goats. Because the other day I heard somebody from the left, and I can't remember who the hell it was, but they said something was racist, and there was nothing this subject, and for the life of me right now, my mind just totally went blank on it as to what it was, but what it was nothing near being racist, and they don't even know what racism is anymore. In fact, being racist is anymore, but they'll hit you with it every time they can, because they know that it's going to push people back and make people sit back and think, you know, no, wait, I don't want to be a racist, I ain't going to do this anymore. And a lot of people think that way, which is wrong, because, you know, the left,
hey,
to them,
our main enemy, is the media. They're used to attack
exactly
our freedom of speech and our the rest of our rights. They mislead
mm-hmm.
us. I mean, they say it's the unemployment's down below 5%, but I seriously doubt it, because I think it's up to 23% myself.
I was thinking somewhere around 16 myself.
And I think you both are kind of wrong. Our main enemy is ourselves. You want to sit here and say, well, I'm not racist. Yeah, you want to say that we're not racist. Okay, fine. I'll believe you. I'll tell you what. You drive your car into one of the lower-income poverty part of towns, and you step out, being a concealed weapons carrier or not, and you see a group of teenage or early 20s gentlemen in what you perceive to be gang attire, and tell me you don't already make a judgment. You do. Everybody does.
No.
You go into a restaurant to have a meal, and you have people from the Middle East in there dressed in Arabic garb, you automatically think, or you leave the restaurant. That's not racism. That's just how we're programmed.
Wow,
right. It's what you see on a daily basis. You know, I don't see people walking in the street on a normal basis, hugging total strangers and singing Kumbaya and saying God bless you. I mean, you just don't. And that's because why? We all have our own ingrained judgment of what is going on around us. You know, I live in a very large southern city that is very diverse. We have everybody here from a large quantity of Middle Easterns. Matter of fact, they held Iraqi elections in my town. We have Somalis. I was in the Marine Corps on the 15th MEU. I went to Mogadishu before Black Hawk Down happened and went back for the exfil. I have a strong epiphany towards Somalis based off of what I've witnessed in their country. But I try not to judge them based off of that. Now, if they push the subject, I might revert back to a few years back. But plain and simple, you know, it's already ingrained in us. And if anybody wants to know the answer, I think we should let Miss Tammy talk for a little bit because she's a little bit more eloquated and less emotional than some of us are and hear what the woman has to say.
Hey, after that, I want to ask you a question about the military and about Iraq and all that.
You can come back to me after Miss Pink has a chance to talk.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's an invited guest.
Well,
I mean, we've kind of been walking over.
Sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to ask a question to Robert because I know we were supposed to stay on the topic of gun control. And like I said, we have a lot of things to talk to. I'm sure Robert will invite us back to discuss some other things. Correct, Robert?
Exactly.
But I do have a question, though. I'm getting somebody's phone has a background or something. All right, here's my question. Can you tell me why I'm just gonna say it how it is here, okay? Can you tell me why it's okay for the black people to have Black History Month? They can have the Black Entertainment TV. They can have the Black Miss USA Beauty Pageant, the Black College Fund. But if we did the White History Month, or we did the White College Fund, or we did the White Miss America pageant,
you know, I white history
automatically
the,
we're going to be
history.
Called racist and shut down.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's like we are the minorities, and if we try to stand up and do our own thing, we get labeled as racist, but everybody else can do it.
That's because they had to make the majority feel weak so the whole country is less powerful.
Hey, listen, could I just for one sec, there's a fellow that called in to speak on the nullification.
Okay.
What is that?
Your phone's stupid.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, the ranchers that stood for us out in Oregon, there's a movement to try to save them right now. And in that movement to try to save them right now, one of their only hopes would be that nullification of jury. And Brother Jerry, are you on?
Hello, you.
Brother Jerry, are you on? Jerry Bruckert?
Do we have someone else with a question?
I'm trying to get back into the chat room because I went and did something and knocked myself right out of there. So.
Okay. We're hearing all kinds of noise. I don't know if we had another person on with a question or what.
I was trying to figure out which line that was coming from. So, but I don't know. I've had several comments in the chat room. Lady Michelle put in a link from the Boston Herald about. And I went to it, and then I went and closed it, and actually closed my window here, which was kind of stupid. But it was about okay. I'm getting it opened again here. But illegals held in vicious Framingham rape. The college boyfriend fought off. Pardon?
Are you in, Brother Jerry? Are you on the call?
I guess not. But that link was about the illegal Held and Vicious Framingham rape. And it's about boyfriend fought off Guatemalan attackers to rescue pinned down girlfriend.
Is Jerry on the call? Jerry, are you in here?
It depends. If he called in to ask questions, he would be on the line for the people who call in.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to get in. I was trying to get him in to speak of that nullification because he's way more versed than I am. But I really, honest to God, any jury in any county in this entire country can nullify an indictment. They have that power. And I really feel like, because, see, all these things we're talking about, the Second Amendment, if you take a person to court over a gun infraction and the jury knows that they can nullify the indictment, then people can not be prosecuted for the thing that we're here to talk about, the Second Amendment rights. If the police bring them to trial and the jury knows that they can nullify the indictment and send everybody home without a blemish to this person, then we can start to cure this and make it an epidemic across this country. I mean, naturally, a jury wouldn't pardon someone who has it coming to them. But any weapons offense, if that person were to take it to trial and the jury were to know that they could nullify the indictment and throw it all out and seize it all up right then and there, we could stop seeing people, Americans, indicted for weapons offense.
Yeah, I agree. Tammy, do you have anything else there?
There's a page on Facebook for it.
Do we have anybody else with questions or that called in?
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. First, I want to say hello to your guests. I've heard a lot of great things out of them. I think it's really awesome. And I'm going to really make some people mad on this. That Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. If you go back up until they started outlawing guns in cities, you know, take your gun off and turn it over to the sheriff when you enter the city and take it back out because cowboys were irresponsible when they get drunk after a long cattle drive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those ex-felons who had not committed murder or certain other crimes were let out of jail and given their guns after they proved that they could stay straight. And those that didn't stay straight were immediately handled by the sheriff in that area. So you got a lot of ex-felons out there that turn their lives around that are great patriots that deserve the same rights as every other human being, the God-given right to defend themselves against what's coming. I yield. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Tammy, you had said you were going to talk about history of gun control. You mentioned the first one that you mentioned was Turkey, and that was one I hadn't heard of. The rest of them I had, but that one I hadn't heard of, so...
They killed a lot of Armenians is actually what they killed. But everyone is pretty familiar with the Hitler one, but people don't realize, because they don't teach history in school the way they should, people don't realize that it was way before Hitler and it was way after Hitler.
Yeah.
As she just touched on, it was way before Hitler. If you go back to medieval times, the kings of certain areas like England and such, they disarmed the populace to keep them from rising up against them. It just wasn't firearms at the time. They took away their bows, they took away their swords, they took away the stuff they needed to defend themselves from the tyrannical kingdom that was coming down on them. So it went before guns. It's just nowadays it's been reverted over to guns based on our times. And by limiting the people, the ability to repel what's being done to them, makes them servants, not people. And you know, she has some really good points, and we really should let her have a little bit more room to talk, because her message is pretty strong.
Yeah, and one of the things that I keep hearing from the left, and they'll talk about how they need to limit the kinds of weapons that we have, and then the one thing that they always bring up is that they have to make sure that people don't go out and buy tanks. Well, tell me, who do you know who has gone out and bought a tank to defend their home with?
Do you want an actual list of names? Because you can buy tanks. You really can, man.
Yes, you can.
Go to eBay Motors and type in tank, I dare you. You can honestly go to eBay Motors and type in tank and find yourself a operational armored vehicle.
A tank, yeah. Well, I know you can, but that's the one thing. It's just not something that you see happening all the time, you know.
You know, Robert,
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you know, I'm sure you've seen my video on Facebook about gun control, correct?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of the people I run across that are against guns, and I ask them why, and they'll tell me because someone in their family was killed by a gun and whatnot, stuff like that. And automatically they assume that because I am for guns that I've never experienced anything like that. So when I open up to tell them my story and explain to them what happened, for those of you out there who don't know or who haven't seen the video, I've got quite a history of guns in my family, from watching my mother shoot herself, from having my brother killed by his girlfriend 2 weeks before he turned 18 with her father's gun, to having a shotgun held in front of my face by a crazy ex. So, you know, I know it's not the gun, it's the person behind the gun. The gun is just a tool. You know, the same mm-hmm. way that what you can use one of those high-powered air compressor nail guns. You know, you're going to blame the nail gun for killing somebody. You know, just like Barry brought on with automobiles. You know, you got people texting and driving, killing more people now than drunk drivers. You're going to ban the cell phones. So their excuse with the whole gun control, you know, is just hogwash. But I won't elaborate too much on that. But you get what I'm saying. It's just an excuse for them to control the people.
Well, you know, and that's the thing that I've constantly said before. You know, they get away with banning something. There's always something in the works that'll come up after that they're going to go after to ban again. And as long as they're allowed to get to continue banning things, we're just going to continue losing stuff, because once they win a battle like gun control or something like that, their war is not over. They're just going to be moving on to the next part of their war. Whereas with conservatives, the problem with us is that when we win a battle, we go home. We've got a life to live. We've got other things to do, but they don't. The liberals, all their whole plan is a certain thing, and each step is another step towards what they want. You know, and if they win the gun control battle, that's not the end of it. They're going to go to something else, and there will be something else they'll be hitting this with to ban. And that essentially.
Hey, Robert,
could I
reference a good source of educational materials and social media is on Facebook, a man named Jerry Bruckert. He has a page called Passive Aggressive Counter Resistance, and it deals a lot with the nullification of jury and the withdrawal of consent, the two mechanisms the people of this country actually have to mount a defense against this tyrannical government. I just wanted to get that out there before we conclude this here.
Yeah, and I was looking at the time. I've only got like about 10 minutes left, and because I was going to do a two-hour show, and then I wasn't exactly sure how this was going to work out, and it actually worked out a heck of a lot better than I thought it would. So I went for an hour and a half. So I've got like 10 minutes left, and I actually really should have gone 2 hours, which next time I'll know better. Huh?
Well, basically, you know, our message is we the people have to unite. It's that simple, you know, because in the end, it's going to be us standing up for our rights and our freedom and liberty in our country. And that is, like Barry pointed on, the government's biggest fear is unity. That's why they're always trying to create division. And we cannot let them, you know, win with creating division. We need to stand together and just unite, because there is power in numbers, and that's what we are trying to do, is educate people, bring people together. That way they know their history and they know what's going to come, and they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Read your Constitution. Learn what it means.
Yeah, and the Constitution
uphold it before
really
it's taken away.
Yeah, the Constitution really is not that hard to get a hold of. I've got on my blog at wiseconservatism.com, one of the pages there is the Constitution, if you want to go there to read it. Or you can actually go online and Google it, and you can get all kinds of things where you can print out the Constitution. It's not that long. It's only like, it's not really that long. There isn't that much there, but it's...
We're going to be able to distribute constitutional materials within the next few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, Tammy? We just found a resource.
It might be longer than a couple of weeks, though. It might be in about like 4 to 6 weeks, because we have to wait on the bulk order and them to arrive and shipping and whatnot. But that is our plan, is to pass them out, give them out free, distribute them, help educate the people, make them aware of what is in the Constitution, and open their eyes.
Yeah, because the Constitution is no matter what Obama or any representative in Washington says, the Constitution is the law of the land.
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree.
No matter
anymore.
No matter how hard they try to rewrite it, it is the law. And don't believe the rumors that go around that say that the Constitution expired after 19 years. It didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
And, I mean, honestly, people, pull your head out of the sand. Listen to people who are trying to wake you up. And realize that when the time comes and Agenda 21 comes in or whatever, right? Remember that the people who turned a blind eye to what we're trying to stand up and get you to realize are the same people that were trying to keep you off your knees with a gun to the back of your head because you were disarmed.
Yeah.
As free Americans, we have the right to die on our feet instead of live on our knees.
Yeah, and
I'd rather remember that.
Roger that. Roger that, Brother Wayne. Amen to that.
And the best other thing you can do is stop turning your back on God. God made this country, not Allah, not Buddha, not the Quran, nothing else. It was written into our Constitution. It was written into most of our laws.
Yeah.
When they're
tearing down, when
they're taking crosses out of churches to keep from offending Muslims, wake up, America.
That pisses me off.
Wake up, America.
They're not going to churches anyway. They're not hanging out.
24 hours ago, they released that statement that they're planning on redesigning the American flag.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's not a joke. They actually have redesigned the American flag. I'll still die for the one that I've lived by my entire life.
We redesigned our own flag. We have our own flag. We've adapted and adopted our own flag. Let them have theirs. We'll have ours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Robert, I'm going to send you a link. For you to listen to when you have time. But it's basically the story of the Star Spangled Banner as you never heard it before. Just listen to that, and maybe you can play it on your next show. It's probably about 5 minutes long.
Yeah, I could easily do that.
And I guarantee you won't have a dry eye in the house when you're done.
No, it's very good.
Yeah,
it's very good.
One of the things that
I
Yeah. One of the things that I actually do, I do a daily update, kind of like Rush Limbaugh does, but mine isn't nearly as good as his. But I always end it with one thing, and I say, we need to return to the one God who has led this nation since its beginnings and pray to him for his guidance. And I say, and that's God's guidance, not Allah's.
Amen to that.
Before
Amen
your timer runs out, sir, can I have a chance to offend every Muslim in the country that's listening?
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, everybody that's listening to this broadcast, reach down and touch their hearts and open their eyes. Let them see your guidance behind the making of this country, and let them stop turning their back on you, Lord, and return to you. Be with my brothers in the field around this world who are fighting for what they believe in, as well as we're willing to fight for what we believe in here. Be with the host of this show. Be with Miss Pink, with my brother Barry. And lay your hands on me too, Lord, that I could be a better leader. Help us strike out the infection that has hit our country. We haven't turned our back on you, Lord. Please don't turn your back on us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 And thank
amen.
You. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Sir.
I am so honored. Go ahead.
Any of your audience, too, I don't hide. I'm real easy to find, kind of like that sheriff guy. Barry Croft, Delaware. Look me up on Facebook. I can connect you to some places and get you some good constitutional materials. We're getting ready to launch a nonprofit probably as early as next week that's dedicated to educating the American people as to what their Constitution says, what it means, and how it really applies to us as American citizens. We don't have to allow what's going on. They're dumbing us down to make us feel like it's acceptable. It is not. And before it comes time to bear arms and defend our country, there are some mechanisms that we can launch and use to offset this evil that has infested our government. We are being governed by criminals. It's very apparent. If they opened themselves up to transparency, they would probably be in a hangman's noose right now. Sacrificed good men, good women. They've sacrificed our sons and daughters for their agendas. And it's time to end it now. Now, we as a people, I don't want to be the generation that sells my children into slavery. It is our responsibility right now to handle this. And that's all I have to say.
Yes. And also, you can find me on Facebook under Tammy Pink, P-I-N-K. Lavoie Finnegan is the background profile pic. And I'm also with the USA Patriots Union on there. And if you contact me, I can help hook you up as well with getting you some educational material and bringing you into our group chat.
And as I always say, I ain't bashful, I'm from Nashville. I'm Wayne Slavin. I'm the head of Mrs. Pink's security. I'm her personal guard. You can find me on Facebook. Also, if you can't figure out which one it is, it says Pink's Gunman next to it. That'll be me. Also with USA Patriots Union, very proud to be. You can look me up, too. I'm easy to find, as Barry put it politely. And if you ever need us back, I'll be more than willing to come back anytime, sir.
Yeah, if you find one of us, you'll find all of us.
Well, I was happy to have you all here tonight, and thank you for helping this to be a great show. I've got about 60 seconds left, so I guess I'll say goodbye to all of you, and thank you for calling in. Thank you, Tammy and Barry and all the rest of you. This has been a really informative hour and a half. It kind of went by really fast.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
Thank you, Rob.
God,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. And God bless you all. And I will have you back again.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk to you all later.
All righty. Bye.
Okay. We are at the end of the show right now. I do thank you for having me here, and I thought I had started my theme song, but I guess it didn't start, so I guess that's there it goes. Okay, finally. Thank you all for coming here tonight. God bless you all. I will see you all next week, and I will have a show next week. God bless you all. God bless America. God bless our troops. And I'll see you next week. Same time, same internet. And God bless you all. God bless you all.